It's Pod of Thunder, bitches.
My goodness.
Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized...
I had to go turn the car off.
The recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. Smells good in here. Chris, what is that? What is that, Chris? What are we burning today?
Coincidentally, we're burning the Burning For You. Someone we know who's a BOC fan is also celebrating a birthday today that we're recording this. So in honor of that individual, I don't see him on the chat yet.
There he is.
All right, the Burning For You candle in honor of Mr. Tony Griggs's birthday.
Come blow it out, Tony. Yep.
Happy birthday, Tony. That sounded like a threat. Come blow it out, Tony.
Blow it out your ear, Tony.
Blueberry, thyme, and wildflowers wafting through the studio.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And if you want 20% off, go to curiosities.com. Enter that promo code. What?
Pothead.
That's it. Get 20% off on your candle order. You're going to smell better this year. Let's start with your home. It smells bad. You don't know. Everybody who comes over has been telling us about it.
You know what? I'm sure that happens. You don't know.
You don't know. You're used to it. There used to be those commercials. I forgot what product it was, but they used to use the phrase nose blind. You're nose blind to your own house.
Wow.
So there you go.
Don't let that happen to you. Curiosities.
We're going to steal that and give it to Curiosities. They're going with nose blind as well now. There's going to be a lawsuit. They stole
That'd
it
be
from
a black, Black Sabbath inspired candle. Oh. Nose blind.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Ace Frehley. Yeah. Solo.
Also, the show is brought to you by patreon.com/podofthunder. There's a tier for everybody. If you go there and check it out and there's something that works for you, we'd be delighted if you'd give us a raise, as they say. Go on there and give us a raise for next month. Sign up at any tier. There's something at every level. And if you want to be like Joe Patterson, who introduced the show this week.
Rather aggressively.
Yeah, using expletives.
My goodness, Joe.
He's a horny guy. So it's coming out in his intro.
See, I didn't think of it that way. I just thought he was threatening everyone, but maybe that's what it was.
It goes hand in hand.
It's not about thinking of it that way. It's simply observing him in the... Republic of Pod Thundistan. I'll say it again. He's a horny guy.
Horny Joe.
So it makes sense that this sort of aggression and you know, chutzpah, if you will, would come out in his intro.
That makes sense. So if you want to be like Joe, you could send us an intro. It's available to every patron at every level. If you want to go all the way to the top, you can join us live Thursday evenings as we record with the live video feed. Be on the chat. Help us produce the show. We need your help. And if you want to know how to get me that message of your intro,
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
All right, now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show. He left.
Yeah, he's out right. The door.
It's just going to be me and Chris doing this. That was a big slam there. It's just going to be me and Chris doing this.
Broke up the sound a little bit.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen.
Polka dancing is reacrosses the podcast's studio.
Nick Polak has entered the program. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you,
Mr. Nick Rogers.
Incredible lung capacity.
That's what it was. I couldn't put my finger on it when he did the hanger move. I was like, that looks familiar. What is that?
Mr. Nick Rogers has entered the program. Thank you for complimenting my lung capacity.
It was incredible.
I didn't
incredible.
Know I had it, but I had something going there. It was like a Jim Gillette. And, I can't remember what song that is with the long
every
string.
Song.
Yeah, yeah. There's the one, whatever. Nick, welcome. Glad to have you. That cardigan looks good on you.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me borrow it.
That's nice.
Oh, it's yours, yeah. Andy?
Nick sent me a text on the way to my house. I was said, like, give me a cardigan.
I was like, I have no idea, but now I do. And now I need a cardigan. Mm-hmm. And a hanger.
Minnesota North Stars motif.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
I like it.
All right. Well, two Nicks immediate left. You on them. We got them.
I can have it every day. Yeah, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way. Yeah.
Put your hands together.
My goodness.
For the breakout star of the podcast media.
Never with such fervor.
That's I got to match Horny Joe. Toe to toe with Horny Joe. He set the tone. There we go.
That's a good title for a song.
There's a song called Nosy Joe. You could kind of play off of that.
Toe to toe with Horny Joe. Chris, welcome to your house.
It could be a song here. About... Song about meeting a guy at a bar, I guess, going toe to toe with.
Oh, that's good. Like you're competing,
playing
for the
horseshoes
same
with him
something.
In the second verse.
So you befriend him, I guess.
You're basically keeping up with him, yeah.
Okay, so I thought you were competing for the same woman, but
might be at the end of the song.
That might come into play. Who knows?
All right, good.
All bets are off when you're going toe to toe with Horny Joe.
I like this.
We'd have a new song to
new
break
pod
down
original.
Next week.
Yeah,
we haven't done one for a while, so
it's been a long time. All right, so we're all here. What is it, May? Yeah, it's Memorial Day, right?
Memorial
as this comes
Day.
Out,
the Memorial Day episode. We're recording it on May 21st, but yeah, it's coming out Memorial Day in the United States, May 25th.
Yeah, you know. It is what it is, but it was kind of fun when we were doing the Kiss episode still, and then the holiday Mondays were when we would kind of go off-roading and do something else, like what we do every week now. That was happening for a little while there, but hey, that's where every week is Memorial Day on Pot of Thunder, I guess. I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, the philosophy was nobody listens on holidays.
Right, so we could just do whatever we want if we felt like, doing a Willy D or whatever. So,
speaking of Memorial Day, you guys in the mood to eat a little something-something?
Is it baked?
Partially.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
Handed it to me like there's a live animal in it. Very, very delicate.
Well, we're going with a classic American summer treat here.
It's a piece of watermelon.
With a bit of a twist to it.
Jeez.
What the hell?
So what we have here, you've got a s'more, but the graham cracker
It looks like it might be homemade.
Banana graham cracker. Homemade banana graham cracker.
Look at you, because it's kind of...
And just kind of a regular marshmallow toasted and a Reese's cup inside to give you that
shitballs.
That peanut butter banana sort of a thing going on.
It's going to give your pudding a run for its money. Well, the mint julep pudding.
I'm told that the graham crackers turned out pretty well.
Oh, I'll bet. So, banana graham crackers.
I brought one for myself this time. I don't know.
That never happens.
That never happens, but you know what? I had another one sitting there when I was leaving.
Mm-hmm. Now you say you've been told that the graham crackers are good. You haven't even tried this yet.
Well, I had some scrap pieces, like some really thin ones that I baked after the fact. That the taste was good, but my wife had a couple of the premier thicker ones here, she spoke highly of them. So
Nick's gonna take a bite for everyone. Let's see it.
All right,
there it is. That's what people. That's what they want to hear. Sounds good. What's the chocolate?
It's a Reese's cup.
Okay. Wow. So it's like a elk. You put some bacon on there. It's one of those Elvis sandwiches. Right?
I thought of that too.
I'm glad you didn't. I for one don't care for the bacon treats. Like when you get the mixed dozen donuts and there's one with bacon on it. And everyone's like, yeah, you got to try the bacon one. Hey, you going to try the bacon one? I don't want the bacon
one. Oh, like the maple with bacon?
I don't want it.
Yeah, I'm not a sweet and savory together person.
Get it out of my face. No,
it's not my thing either. Like
I just want a donut. I don't want a piece of bacon on it.
Like the McGriddle.
Yeah.
I would never even dream of ordering it.
I think it is, yeah. It's a permanent menu item.
Really? Okay.
People are eating it.
That was pretty good, I have to say. All right. Subtle banana flavor. There's mashed banana as one of the ingredients in
Are you singing crackers. Wiggles songs over there?
Yeah. Subtle banana is the opposite of horny Joe.
Apparently, children's television shows has become the theme of this episode.
That's true. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe that's what we're going to get. We don't know what's happening yet. I have no idea.
I know what's happening.
Oh, boy. It's Chris's pick, and he knows what's happening. So does that mean we're bypassing the random song generator?
We're bypassing the random generator, but we are going off the list.
Okay.
So since it's Tony's birthday, and he's contributed, I went to the list, and his name came up 68 times.
That's what I'm talking about. Good job, Tony. Yes. That's what we want.
A few of those we've already done, but I would say certainly in the 60s of available songs that Tony has picked. So I looked through them, and I found one that I think the three of us are all going to like. Because I don't want to pick something that he submitted and have one or more of us shit all over it. That would not be cool on his birthday. So I found one that I think we're all going to like. Somebody else who I think is on the chat is usually on the chat. I don't know if I see that person on the chat tonight yet. But no, I do see that person. This person also submitted it, so we have two people on the chat submitted this song, and I think it'll make for a good episode celebrating Tony, and it'll also be something that the three of us, I think, will all enjoy. And it's an artist we have yet to feature on the show before, since people were all up in arms about the third Lover Boy song in 6.5 years.
I saw I can't remember who it was. I think it was Chris Camarado, maybe, was saying, oh, is it going to be the fourth one today? No, it's not.
No. Turns out it's not. Song submitted by Tony Griggs. And, without further ado, let's get into it.
All right. Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
You Can't Bring Me Down.
Off of
Lights, Camera, Revolution.
By the band
Suicidal Tendencies.
All right.
Wow. Okay.
So, I know not very much about Suicidal Tendencies.
The line item, Andy, is 1527. Hmm. Yeah, Griggs and Camarado both put this one in.
So is this Robert Trujillo?
First album for Trujillo with Suicidal, yes.
Okay. Wow.
What year do we know?
1990, I believe.
1990, wow. Okay.
So I'm sure there are many listeners who are more familiar with Suicidal Tendencies than I am, at least. I won't speak for you guys, but I know a bit about them. But they are probably best known these days to the younger generation as a meme with the guy with the bandana talking of,
Pepsi.
With the Pepsi, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, institutionalized, isn't that?
Yeah.
The video and song. So, that was several years prior to this one, so.
That was 80s, right? That was their big. So. They have been around since 1980. Hmm. So have I. And I, let's see, quite a lineup of musicians who've either studio or live musicians. Jimmy DeGrasso.
Yeah. You know, that's okay.
Jay he Weinberg, was in Suicidal too.
Everybody's, Dave Lombardo.
Everybody's been
Josh Freese.
Everybody's been wow. in that band. I was going to say that's an interesting thing, especially drummers. They've had a million great yes. drummers. This is not an insult at all. I'm not trying to be a dick in any way. But I don't understand how, maybe it's just their catalog and their history, but how are they pulling in so many top shelf drummers when they need somebody? Is it just, hey, we need help and we know everyone? Because I can't imagine that's the highest paying gig.
No, but it's they're highly respected musically, yeah. and from a credibility standpoint. So yeah, I think that means a lot when they need somebody to come and step in. And I think it's become of something that these guys wear proudly that they performed with Suicidal.
Michael Lubetti said, I just Googled the band and got a hotline number.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
I'm going to write band in there, too, or else if you need help, there's a number. Yeah.
I'm trying to find, I forget the name of it, but we have a listener or had a listener, haven't heard from him in a while, and that's fine. But Jeff Mann, he sent
Jeff
us.
Mann, dude.
Jeff Mann, dude, sent us a book that he wrote years ago, and I remember reading it. And he was the drum tech for a little while for Suicidal Tendencies. And really? I'm pretty sure the book is called All In. Yeah, All In. How to Become an Overnight Rockstar, yeah. Roadie Success in Just 20 Years. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because that's one of the things that my brain goes to when I hear Suicidal Tendencies is the pages in there where he's talking about being a drum tech for him.
All right.
I have very outside knowledge of this band. Know a handful of songs. I don't know a ton of their history and the motivation behind decisions they've made. But I always thought it was weird that, I don't know how many guys, but at least two of the guys did Infectious Grooves at the same time. And it was like, whatever, like the funk metal thing that was happening at the time, but that band still performs, so that's kind of
Infectious Grooves does.
Yeah, like, well, they still do festivals.
First time I heard of them was I don't know if it was Headbangers Ball. It was something where there were two songs on MTV going head to head, and Ozzy was like the in studio guest or something like that, and I'd never heard of Infectious Grooves. It was some established band against them. And Ozzy, it was the song Therapy. Ozzy did the core. He did sort of
he sang on it.
He did sort of like Somebody's Watching Me sort of a job there.
Yeah, just came in.
Just sang the chorus.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a lot of crossover, I guess, with a lot of the a lot of the metal community and these guys. And one thing Andy will enjoy, there were rumors, well, you might not enjoy this first part, but the second part of the sentence you will enjoy. There were rumors of the band being involved with gangs. Their concerts were known for violence.
I was going to get to that.
Andy loves violence.
I love it. That was going to be my next point that I wanted to talk about. One of the two things I know about them, they also spun off to Infectious Grooves and The Violence. That was the other thing I know. So they were an LA band when, everybody who lived through that and talks about it says that was a very violent time in music, LA punk rock, early 80s. And to the point that the people who were fans of Suicidal Tendencies were a legitimate recognized gang by the LAPD. The Suicidals. Oh, wow. So, like, it was illegal to be a fan of the band. Like, you could be arrested if you had their whatever merchandise you, and you were.
I didn't know that.
Like, you could be hassled and possibly arrested just for, you know.
That's next level. There's the Kiss Army, but that's.
Well, yes. That's next level.
Yeah, that's more, you know, fun and games.
Yeah.
This is a whole other thing, yeah.
Seems like, you know, it sounds fun to hear about that. I'm fascinated with that time period. But I can't imagine it would have been too fun to be in that.
No.
Like, wouldn't you just be like, I'm just going to listen to this, to the records. I don't need to, like,
I hope I hope no one follows me home after I buy the record.
Right.
And tries to initiate me.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for a good time.
Now, some people are drawn to the danger.
Sure. I am not one, so I wouldn't be, but I understand people.
Not now, but back in the day, you probably would have been tempted to go back.
Yeah, man, who knows?
In your younger days.
Rabble rousing. Oh, Nick says yes.
You would have opened a franchise.
Yeah.
The Suicidals
of Hammond.
Northwest Indiana franchise.
Yeah, if you were 17 or 18 with the same mindset that you actually had at 17 or 18 in L.A., you'd have been at Suicidal shows.
Yeah.
You'd have been at Black Flag shows.
Yeah.
Social Distortion, Fear, all that shit. You'd have been there.
Yeah.
Don't be playing.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I've chilled out, more responsible man at this point.
Yeah.
Like many of us.
Well, if you live to tell about it, then yes, that's what you become. But make no mistake, back in the day, you'd have been all about this shit.
Yeah.
All my rowdy brothers have settled down. That's my country song I'm working on.
Well, for now.
That can factor into toe-to-toe with Horny Joe.
Both work together.
Before we get into it, though, that was the line item on the list was 1527, and we got a hit, so hit it.
Habemus papam.
Time for Pope's up. Yay, that Pope's up. Here's some Pope's up.
Nick, who was the Pope in 1527?
One of the Benedicts.
Incorrect.
Ah.
In 1527, Pope Clement the Seventh. I'm sorry, Pope Clement the Seventh.
That's like a rhyme right there, man.
Was forced to flee for his life and was held hostage during.
You're going to a suicidal tent.
Yeah, right.
He had a papal robe with. He had a flipped-up baseball hat with a papal robe.
Was forced to flee for his life and was held hostage during the devastating sack of Rome.
Oh, man. Oh, wow.
After he allied with France against the Holy Roman Empire, a mutinous army of imperial troops stormed and pillaged the city, forcing him to hide in the castle Sant'Angelo.
Wow.
The catastrophic events of 1527 reshaped the papacy and the broader Catholic Church.
Wow. Because that's
huge goings on in the Pope world.
Is that Martin Luther was around at that time?
I don't know.
I think there was stuff going down. I could be off a little bit there.
The Sack of Rome. We need to make Sack of Rome merchandise, I think.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, that's a big one. That might be the most.
Pope Clement the Seventh could walk into a Suicidal Tendency show and be like, "This is not really that bad."
Yeah, I've seen worse.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm glad to be back.
Suicidals don't. He doesn't bat an eye at those guys.
Wow, quite an eventful Pope stuff.
Yeah, that was a big one. A good one. So.
Sack of Rome, that guy who used to tour with Sublime could call his new band since he was replaced.
Yeah,
he plays over at Nudes a Poppin'.
Did he?
No, I'm just kidding.
That would work perfectly. I believed you.
I don't know. Is that even a thing?
It might be over with now.
It's over with?
I don't know. I haven't heard about it in several years.
My goodness.
I could text my friend who used to work there. Hold on. Is Nudes a Poppin' still having? You want me to text her?
Yeah.
Yeah, find out.
All right. Yeah.
And can we play there?
All right. I'll find out.
And the Nudes of Poppin' venue is between here and Fair Oaks Farms. The last time we were coming back from Fair Oaks Fair Oaks Farms, I drove right past the Nudes of Poppin' venue.
Yep. There's more without, than one over there, too. There's
Yeah. Three. Without knowing it was there, I just drove past. I go, holy shit. It's the Nudes
think,
of Poppin'.
I don't think I've ever noticed it driving that way.
No?
Is there a big sign?
No. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's there's not, you know, they're not, they don't, it's not calling attention to itself, but there is a sign that you can notice, and it's like, holy shit, Nudes are popping.
There's not a big laser pointer up in the sky, a phallic laser pointer to let everybody know this is the parking lot.
You know our brother Jay bought one of those, don't you?
Yes, yeah. I do know.
Of course he did, right?
Yeah. It's JB and Jay.
I remember him talking about it.
Yep.
He was, I think he was over at my place, and he was talking about it. And then a couple minutes later, he's like, yeah, I just got my phone and ordered one.
Yeah.
Some guy he knew had one, and he was talking about it, and I thought, oh, okay.
he got it.
He just, he was so inspired to pull the trigger on that, but.
Sometimes there's just, it's a what do we always call it? Like you said about the white snake umbrella. There's just a no-question purchase.
Oh, this is why I'm saying about Sack of Rome merchandise.
Yeah.
Just that message on a shirt, Sack of Rome.
Yeah.
If I saw that, I'd want to buy it.
Yep. Nope. You don't even have to look at the price.
Yeah. And it just has to have the word Sack of Rome on there.
Yeah. I'll deal with the credit card bill later. I don't care what it is right now. I need this. Okay, so
yeah, I also have a limited knowledge and exposure to Suicidal, but something tells me that the three of us will enjoy this.
I think so.
Versus some of his other contributions, which I think could have gone south for one or more of us. So
okay,
but again, all these top tier musicians. Linking up with Suicidal, the respect is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're all going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
I was just looking at their discography. The song that I know best by them is "How Will I Laugh Tomorrow."
Yeah,
that's the one I remember from when I was a kid.
That was the previous album, and I remember that one coming across the old entertainment desk at the student newspaper, and I want to say. Either I reviewed it or I had somebody, one of my writers, review it. But I'm pretty sure we ran a review of that album. What is it? How Can I Laugh Today? Or How Will I Laugh Today?
How Will I Laugh Tomorrow If I Can't Even Smile Today?
Okay, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, at some point under my direction, a review of that album was published in the student newspaper. So,
let me tell you what our submitters said about this.
Yeah, do that.
So it came from Chris Camarado and Tony. Let's go with Tony's first. Tony said, a band you can't really put in one musical category. Metal, punk, thrash, funk. So wait, they were doing funk in Suicidal Tendencies too, and then they're like, let's do a whole other band and continue. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know either.
All the elements are here, and the guitar work is always superb. I'm trying to think of what movie... they were in as Infectious Grooves. It was something I saw on TV recently. Like, it wasn't Clueless, but it was something like, but before, but like that, where like, why are they in this? And they're in
was
there.
Was it Infectious Grooves or Suicidal?
I think it was Infectious Grooves. Is it Encino Man? Maybe it might have been Encino.
That'd
Man.
Be interesting.
All right, while you look that up, I'll tell you what Chris Camarado said. How has this band...
It is Encino Man.
It is Encino Man, okay.
Wow.
Not yet been featured on the show. This was the lead single from their biggest album. Self-titled... No. Suicidal Tendency. He put ST. So ST at the peak of their powers was a force to be reckoned with. Video watch-along recommended for Rocky George in his signature Pirates hat. Young Rob Trujillo and the man still trying to bring Mike Muir down. You wouldn't know what crazy was if Charles Manson was eating Fruit Loops on your front porch. So, what do you think? Do we do video watch along?
I don't need a video watch along to see a pirate's hat. I don't need it.
Okay. I'm all right.
It's like the Wikipedia explanation of the Get Lucky cover last week. It's like, I didn't need that from Wikipedia. You can see it.
In the chat, Tony and Chris are talking about if Chris submitted it on a holiday. Because remember, he last submission was from him on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
You know, it came on April 12th, 2023. That could be Easter. We don't have to look it up. We're going to say that was Easter.
So I'm just going to, like, do a little scrub through on my phone of the video just to see the visual here. Mm-hmm. Typed in suicidal tendencies, you can't bring me down. Mm-hmm. And when I searched it, a suicide prevention thing popped up. It didn't even show me the videos.
It doesn't want you to see it. That's got to be a, I don't know.
But I mean, like,
a difficult thing when
sure,
your band name is unsearchable.
Yeah.
You didn't think about that in 1980, but.
No, but I mean, makes perfect sense, obviously. You want to use the technology to try to reach out to people. But yeah. Let's see, the video. There's not much that we would probably comment on, I'm afraid, so.
Yeah, I'm saying no to the watch along. We don't need it.
All right.
Now, by Pirate's Hat, I thought it was like a swashbuckling hat.
Well, it's Pittsburgh Pirates.
It's the Pittsburgh Pirates that looks like a stack of pancakes.
Yeah, right, the late head. 70s.
Stove top or whatever they call it.
The Kent Tekulve, Dave Parker era.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great hat.
Yeah. No, it was different.
I thought we were talking swashbuckling with a skull and crossbones.
No, baseball, Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, what can you do?
Thinking, we've talked about this on the show before, but there was that weird situation a couple years ago when, who were the drummers? There was the three drummers from three bands.
And they all switched.
Where they all switched at the same time.
And Weinberg was one of them, right?
Yeah, so he left Slipknot. He went to Suicidal Tendencies, right? Suicidal Tendencies guy is that he's like a jazz guy, but he plays metal now too over the last few years. He's really good, but Grayson something, I can't remember his name. He's like a young kid, but he's really good. He was in Suicidal Tendencies, and then he went to Sepultura. Sepultura guy went to Slipknot. Like all, it's such a weird world, but three-way trade.
It's strange. It's like this guy's not working out for us.
Yeah.
But the guy that's not working out for you
could
work out for us, and that could work out for these guys. Yeah.
I'm assuming it's guy at the top spot of that food chain of probably of pay and also of size shows.
Would that be Slipknot?
That would be Slipknot. Like? So they bump the guy at the top, the next guys come up, and then
I guess.
The guy at the top goes back to
That's weird.
And not that it's the bottom, but you know what I mean, of those three. Like, it's a, you know, it's a stack of three as far as popularity, I would say, with those three. Whatever. So, anyway, interesting. Jackie said the Pirates are so annoying. All right.
Like, just this year?
I don't know.
I haven't been watching.
I don't know. All right.
Yeah, aren't they perpetually in last place? How could you be annoyed from the bottom dweller?
Are you in Pittsburgh, Jackie?
Jackie, when you have a minute.
No, she is a Cubs fan.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
When you have a minute, tell us what's going on. She says in general. Okay.
In general. All right. Never liked them.
Yeah. Ugly ballpark.
I've got...
Really?
People always say it's the best one, so I'm just trying to start
trouble. I've got my Pittsburgh hat. I'll just wear that during the show. It's Homestead Grays.
Is that over there?
Pittsburgh area. Our listener.
Oh, that's from Jake.
Jake sent
that's
that
right.
To me.
That's that one. Okay.
Yeah. So I could make up for it and wear my Pittsburgh hat.
Right. Okay. Well, you've got your hat. All right. Are we ready to get started here?
Let's do it. It's a lengthy song. It's over 5 minutes long.
We specialize in that these days.
Yeah, it seems like it. All right. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with You Can't Bring Me Down.
All trying to think of what's the Anthrax song where you've got the volume knob intro? Like, wasn't that Anthrax? Or no, I'm thinking maybe Metallica. That might be Blackened.
Blackened
does that, and then I'm thinking Testament, Trial by Fire, I think, is the other one that's popping into my head. I think.
Yeah. Chris Camarados is Be All End All. That's with that violin at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. That's a bit different, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I'm, you know, I don't know this song, really, but I know what these guys sound like, and I have a feeling we're going to get punched right across the face here.
Well, yes, any of moment. Course, it's coming. So, this is not going to be an Andy's atmospheric, laughing. This is not going to be their version of Take Me to the Top, okay?
No, probably not. You know, it's something we've come across kind of often, especially with the era of songs that we find ourselves listening to on the show. But you don't hear it as much now. It's probably just not recommended to start a song with 30 seconds of building a scene or whatever, an atmosphere.
No, that's out the window.
Yeah.
Plus, but, you know, and right, and are people listening to complete albums anymore? I mean,
I don't know.
I think they are with the vinyl resurgence, but still, attention spans are in an all-time low.
Yeah.
That much we know.
And I'm not saying it's a bad thing in this context. I'm just saying, you know, it's one of those things that kind of has gone away.
It seems like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like if you wanted to do it, whoever's, you know, financing your release would try to talk you out of it.
Yeah.
Because, again, attention spans are zero.
Yeah, I'd say just do that at the show. We're not doing that on the record anymore. But it is cool, though. Like, you know, you get the new record by the band you're excited about. You put it on, it's building something. Where's it going to go from here?
Yeah. A new album just fading in like this. You know, it's like, reminds me of Fair Warning, Van Halen. Mean Street fades in. It's exciting when you get a brand new album, you put it on, preparing yourself to listen to it front to back, and it's building up some drama. Like you said, if that has in fact gone by the wayside, that would be a shame.
Yeah. This is kind of reminding me of C Note by Body Count, that instrumental.
Yeah,
a little bit. It's kind of reminding me a little bit of Fade to Black.
Yeah, sure.
I'm getting Trial by Fire by Testament still. There's that sort of arpeggio, that cleaner arpeggio, and then some distorted soloing over it.
Or this is like what
sort of thing.
Eric Draven would be playing on a rooftop while it's raining. In The Crow. Well, he does something like this in that part.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He's ripping up there.
Yeah.
I read that before I saw it was coming up. I'm like, okay, that's pretty funny.
I love it. I'm sorry for stopping it.
No,
it needed to be stopped.
Had to be highlighted.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a character that's going to be revealed in the song or if that's just a lyric. I hope it's a lyric delivered sincerely. We'll see.
That's, I'm assuming, I don't know if it's, I can't tell if it's a different voice doing the first two syllables of each line.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming live, you got to have one of the other guys do that.
You have him barking, yeah.
Yeah, you got, because you're not going to be able to breathe.
Yeah.
But I'm having a hard time being able to tell if it's a different guy on the studio recording. I'm just making the assumption that in a live setting, you'd have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of refreshing to have a song that's just like straight thrashy punk.
Yeah.
We don't typically get that on here.
Yeah, that's true. Can't Bring Me Down. It's easy to bring me down. I can't relate to this song. Very, very easily brought down. Doesn't take much.
Andy identifies with "I'm Down" by the Beatles.
Yeah, you
much
go.
Much.
Like but a I think, house of cards.
Again, my knowledge is somewhat limited about Suicidal, but it seems to me that Mike Muir's trademark was his ability to spit out these rapid fire.
It could
lyrics.
Be then.
I think in the studio, absolutely, it would be just him. But I would agree that live, you probably got somebody barking out some support vocals.
Because it all runs into each other. There's crossover
right.
with every line. There's not a break, so.
But he Muir's kind of known for that, though.
Well, right? Then maybe.
So.
All right.
Can I bring up The Ghost and Mrs. Muir? No.
You okay. can.
Never mind. Old movie and TV show.
Yeah, we know. Big,
you like it?
Somebody's excited.
Pirates, excited. Right? Wasn't he a pirate? Pretty sure the ghost was a pirate.
There you go.
Well, there's more serendipity there for you.
Yep.
The ghost was what? The second baseman on that Bucks team of the late 70s? The franchise that annoys Jackie so much.
She doesn't like the Pirates.
The Pirates are annoying.
She has a problem with them.
It's the first time I've ever heard that an entire sports franchise dismissed as annoying over decades of its existence. That's another new one for the show.
Bring me down. Who the hell you calling crazy? You wouldn't know I'm crazy. Once a child mass was eating Fruit Loops on your front porch. Thunder, let's get something clear. I speak more truth than what I hear. Scapegoat, cover up your fear. You can't break me. You ain't gonna see so much pain. Fight more. What I know is right. What up? Got yourself a fight. You can't break me.
I'm listening to the drums that time. And it's pretty cool how there's a double bass kind of. It's a short, I guess you could say, partial blast beat going on at the end of each line. But it's pretty cool that it's not just the whole time. It's used just for part of it. So kind of cool to hear that, because a lot of music that I've heard, at least that's in the last, I don't know, 20 more years, that's got like the thrashy kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, I don't know, whatever genre you want to call it, but it's very reliant on the constant.
It's too much
blast beat. And for me, it, like when we went to see Guar the one time, I remember being like, it's a lot of blast beats. I didn't think they were about that, you know.
Well, you know what? The other thing, I know we've talked about this several times on the show, but that's the concert where it became very clear to me that. If you're that kind of band, you shouldn't have that kind of band open for you, because people are already exhausted by the time you get out there.
Yes,
and you're doing that because, you know, the way it echoes and reverberates in a cavernous venue, it's just.
But I think
it's too much.
That might just be us, and our opinion of that kind of show. But I think there are probably a lot of people who are really into that style of music, and they're 100% down with hearing like five bands drumming wise completely indistinguishable from each other.
I guess if you know the material,
yeah,
it helps a lot.
But I think it's even it could be just not saying mood, like setting up. Well, it could be the mood that you're going for, just the that's the music that you want during your night out, really loud and just constant blast beats.
Yeah, and what are you going to do? Get like a fucking yacht rock band to open up. I mean,
I don't know. It just seems like it was too much. But that's, again, it's,
well,
just
it's too much for you.
Yeah, that was just us, I think.
Yeah. I mean, but, I think people are way into it. They're crazy.
I mean, we just had Dark Lord Day last week, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Did they have any...
It was Napalm Death. I forgot who
else
was
there. Oh, were they
there? Yeah, they had a couple
really
notable names there. No idea, but... I mean, no idea who the others were, but I know they had some.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they might have had Municipal Waste again. They had a couple names we've heard. But Chris Camarado's mad at us because we didn't talk about the Charles Manson lyric there.
Well, he already pointed it out.
I was going to say, you pointed it out, but there, that was it.
What are we going to do? Point it out again?
What are we going to do? You know, swap out different cereals and decide if which one would have the most impact? I mean...
Yeah,
it is what it is. I mean, so what's more to talk about?
You might be a little off kilter if Fruit Loops is your choice, but I don't know that you're crazy.
Well, but if you're Charles Manson,
well, then you don't need any cereal to be crazy. He's what, the best known crazy person since Rasputin.
That's a good. Yeah,
I'm just saying. I mean, he was the best thing.
Yeah,
but he doesn't need the cereal. The cereal is just an accessory.
Yeah, he was hungry. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
I mean, a banana graham cracker. I mean, what difference does it make?
I mean, what cereal would you eat if you wanted to put that message out?
I don't know. That you were crazy?
Yeah,
I don't know.
They're all cereals are essentially the same. I mean, they're different variations, but it's just fucking a bowl of sugar.
True.
Fruit Loops means you're loopy, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess, huh?
Crazy person cereal. Is the toucan crazy? I don't remember.
No, the toucan was perfectly with
was he
of sound mind.
Was he?
Yeah, he was
of sound mind. Right?
He was perfectly capable of changing his will at any time.
He had his ducks in a row.
Yeah, he could have made a change and no one would have thought, okay, no one's going to challenge it. He's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And didn't they have to spell fruit, F-R-O-O-T, so as not to put up the illusion that there's actual fruit in there?
I don't know.
I thought I read that
That
once.
Could very well be.
I'll tell you.
I thought they spelled it correctly originally.
Oh, and they changed it?
And they changed it because people were duped into thinking it was actually a healthy breakfast. Yeah, I don't know.
So berries in it.
Yeah. But they didn't have to change the word loop because there's plenty of those.
Yeah.
Loops are L-O-U-P.
Loops are pretty self-explanatory. There was no chicanery involved.
Or fruit loopes before. Right.
Yeah. if you get a box of Fruit Loops and any of them are not complete circles, you can start a lawsuit, maybe
class action.
You can't call these loops. This is
you may be entitled to compensation.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I think alphabets could show you're crazy.
I think it's always been Froot. That was probably just that was the reason, probably, but it says 1963, Froot.
Oh, man, they could have gotten away with it back then.
Yeah,
maybe they did. Maybe they did a focus group, and it was people were bitching about it, and they just changed out of the gate. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Toucan Sam voiced by Mel Blanc, of course.
Of course.
Why not? He did every job ever.
Yeah. Who else is horning in on that racket? Nobody. They had to wait till he fucking croaked for other voice actors to step up.
Yeah.
I was just watching Strange Brew. Mel Blanc is in it.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's the McKenzie brothers' father, right?
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
The voice of.
Yeah.
Does he do a voice?
Yeah, I don't think he's actually physically in the film. I could be
wrong. Oh, but does he do a strange voice?
No, he doesn't. Yeah. He does yelling Mel Blanc.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much, yeah.
Yosemite, Canadian Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
Wow.
Saskatchewan Sam. I don't know what you want to call it, but.
Yeah, I forgot that they got him. Man, they got him and Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
That was great. Nick and I have been discussing that movie at length recently.
You guys like that?
Classic. Kidding?
Tommy Lombardozzi said cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. That was the crazy bird, not the fruitless
bird. Ah, there you insane. Go.
Yeah. Sound mind, Toucan Sam.
Yeah.
Despite the rumors to the contrary. Nick Menza-esque rumors that dogged Toucan Sam throughout his life.
Toucan Sam, perfectly sane.
Yeah. Regular guy. Outside of the cereal world, just going about his business, you know. No problems there.
Yeah.
Do you guys eat cereal much?
Not anymore.
No. I do. Yeah, I'll take a bag of cereal to work.
Bag it up, huh?
Bag of cereal.
Just eat it dry.
One of those giant ones from
and
the grocery
store? And which cereal
store?
Do you go for?
So, strangely enough, I forgot what it was even called, but I was looking, you know, price is an influence.
Of course.
So, I saw whatever they call them now, but the old Sugar Smacks.
Oh, yeah.
That they just changed to Smacks, and now they're called something else entirely. It still has the sugar bear on it.
Wow. Well, but sugar is a nasty word.
No, but you don't see the word sugar on it.
Unless
no.
it's got zero in front of it, you can't use the word sugar.
I'm anymore. Even more freaked out when it says zero. What did they put in it as a substitute?
I'll tell you.
Does it end in the T-O-L? Is it something tall?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a long list. Let's put it that way.
But. Yeah.
Yeah, they added some.
Let's put it this way, Nick. You're in the minority. Most people, they see zero in front of sugar. They think it's a health food.
It is. It's good
Andy's,
for you.
Andy's slamming his can down over there.
I'm mad that you're but insulting.
I will
beverage.
Say, when I can find it, Alphabits is my jam. Hmm.
I thought that was soup.
That's a no. Cereal.
Okay.
Yeah. There's hardly any letters in it. Just strange. Strange shapes.
Just a few.
Yeah.
Mostly
not many.
Broken letters.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
When I was eating cereal, I was a Cinnamon Toast Crunch guy. Solid.
They've gone crazy.
Oh, yeah. They've got all
what
kinds
was the,
of fun.
What's the new one? Root Beer Float Cinnamon Toast Crunch I saw
Forget
at the
it.
Store.
Get out of here.
Another marketing guy who justified his $500,000 salary, but let's make a Root Beer Float flavor.
They've gone absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Lost their minds.
See, you know.
They should be the ones mentioned in this song.
If I was back in the cereal game, I would bail on it for that reason. You've ruined it. Just quit fucking around with all the flavors.
Oh, but you got to have special editions, right? I mean, that's
No, I
that's
know.
The
and
mindset.
That's like the only reason why these marketing people at these cereal companies continue to get jobs.
Yeah, you know,
one guy comes in. Let's do a root beer float version. Get the fuck out of
there
here!
You go. Yeah, we don't need that. I'm guilty of buying it. I've just bought some. I forgot what it was called. It's basically Bomb Pop flavored Oreos, where it has red, white, and blue
right.
cream inside.
Can that be good?
I didn't even have one yet.
But
the outside is the vanilla cookie or whatever.
But isn't a Bomb Pop like three fruit flavors?
Yes. So it's
Oh, but it's a vanilla cookie.
It's a vanilla
All right,
cookie.
I guess
with
it could work though.
Lemon, blueberry, and whatever the hell else.
Yeah,
whatever
raspberry
and I don't know, cherry. But Oreos don't need all those flavors. They're they're guilty more than
isn't
anyone.
Isn't it watermelon? Isn't the white part watermelon? They've gone crazy.
I don't know. It's the white part of the watermelon. The rind.
Well, but again, it's like, you know, Oreo is an institution. Like, you know, Coke, when they tried the new Coke back in the 80s and it was a complete disaster.
Yeah. It just sells itself. We don't need all
right.
that. Just do the commercials with the horses or whatever and Santa Claus. That's all we need.
Right, but here's the thing. It's like...
That's for what?
I think horses is for Budweiser, but yeah.
What product are we even talking about? Oreo?
See, that...
Oreo horses?
I should try to be CMO for Coke now and say, let's introduce horses into the advertising.
The famous Oreo horses. Yeah.
There you go, man. That's how you would get a CMO job for the fucking Nabisco. Go in there and be like, the two words, Oreo horses. When do I start?
The Oreo horses.
Where's my office?
Get them in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Coming up next, the Oreo
horses. Man. They got a... They got plenty of time for next year's Super Bowl to get that commercial ready.
It rolls off the tongue, the Oreo horses. This is how the magic happens.
The famous Oreo horses.
Andy could be the
CMO. And the Rockettes.
With this one idea alone, Andy could be the CMO of Nabisco by the end of the summer.
Let's make it happen. My confusion has turned into millions of dollars.
But I love the fact that it's horses. Just cutting right to it. With the Budweiser, it's like, oh, they're the Clydesdales and all that stuff.
Yeah, these are any old horse.
We're sidestepping all that horse shit and just going, the Oreo horses.
Oh, goodness.
Somebody get on AI.
I am doing it right now.
Start making some imagery.
I'm doing it right now.
Oreo horses.
I'm hoping for big ride the flavor.
You already did it.
There it is.
Look at the Oreo horses.
There they are.
That's perfect, actually.
Yeah. I didn't even think they had to be black and white, but I guess that works.
And well, I love how it's reversed. The manes are the one is the white mane, and then the
brilliant.
Black. All right, I'm saving that.
Yep, we're ready to go.
Oh, fantastic!
All right, let's get back into it. Right.
If we have to, I just want to talk about
the Oreo horses. Andy needs to connect with Nabisco.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on LinkedIn right now.
Yeah.
Or befriending Nabisco employees.
Yep.
Mondelez. Good.
Great guitar solo lead in. We love those.
What was it that he said?
Tell him what's up, Rocky.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Rocky George is great, man. Real, you know, kind of in that. We probably shouldn't differentiate this way, but you know, Rocky George's a black fella playing like metalloid guitar over like a thrash punk kind of sound. The originator of that, of course, is Dr. No of Bad Brains. Are you guys into Bad Brains?
Yeah,
at all?
A little bit.
I like the first album. I didn't dig much deeper after that, but yeah, I like the first album.
That live album, The Youth Are Getting Restless from Amsterdam, is fucking awesome.
Is it?
Yeah, that's, I recommend that, but and of course, I've talked about it on this show. The one time I saw them was when Chuck Mosley had taken over for yes. HR as the front man. One of the worst concerts I've ever seen. He was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Lurching around the stage, out of breath. He was like the thrash punk Vince Neil.
He probably looked good in a photo with them. They said, "Let's try it."
Well, he
looked terrible on stage.
It's an interesting
fat
idea.
And sweaty and out of breath. It was terrible.
On that's enough. Paper,
you want to talk about another band with a vocalist who is just spitting out lyrics in rapid fire fashion? That was a gig he should not have taken. And actually, the rest of the guys in Bad Brain should have been like, you know, we can't do this.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
That's an athletic performance to be able to do that right.
Yeah.
And if you're not up for it, don't embarrass yourself.
Yeah, certain positions just can't be filled by anybody. I mean, now the CMO of Nabisco.
Yeah, his days are numbered.
Andy's already.
Andy's in line for that with his idea.
So I'm looking up Rocky George. He was in the Cro-Mags. Actually, looks like still is. He joined Fishbone at one point, and he was in a band called Pap Smear with Jeff Hanneman and Dave Lombardo at one point, too. So,
Didn't know that. first album called Must Kill.
I Must Kill, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you trace it back to Dr. No of Bad Brains. He was like the first guy to really come on the scene playing sort of metal guitar in a thrash punk environment.
I mean, I guess Ernie C is maybe in the conversation there.
Body Count came along a good 10 years after.
But I mean, it's in the same. It's a similar style of.
It is playing. Absolutely. I love me some Ernie C. Yeah. I would never disparage him in any way. But I wouldn't call him a pioneer of the genre. Hmm. He picked up the torch and brought it into the 90s. But Rocky George is great. Love the intro. I guess let's listen to the solo, see what we think.
Think
I think it makes sense that he played with two guys from Slayer, and I'm not saying that in a negative way.
Is that a very hidden insult?
No, I'm just saying
they
that
just put an insult in your Oreo. Is that the new flavor?
Yeah, it's a new cinnamon toast crunch.
No, I'm just flavor. Saying, like, to at high speed like that.
Yeah, but I think when you talk about lead playing in Slayer. Most people think like it's just random notes. It has no connection melodically to what's going on. I think what we just heard was pretty melodic. It fit in well. It wasn't completely jarring in terms of just noise coming at you. I think there was some thought to composition and note choice there.
Yeah, perhaps. It kind of like old school Anthrax-y sort of Dan Spitz sort of
in
solo.
General, to me, this whole track sounds like Anthrax.
Yeah.
You hear Anthrax doing this easily. Like if you never heard this song before and you were kind of familiar with Anthrax, you might be sold on the fact that this was like a unreleased B-side or something. I don't know, but definitely getting Anthrax vibes from this one. Not a bad thing, of course.
If only someone in the chat had something to say about the new Anthrax song and video, but I can't imagine there's anybody.
It's a ghost town when it comes to that subject. No opinion.
Is there a tumbleweed emoji? Yeah. Nothing being said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. All right, let's keep going. You can bring me down, no, bring me down. You can bring me down, bring me down. You can bring me down, you can bring me down. Quickly, Chris Camarado, nothing to say about that. But he said musically, because we said something about Anthrax. Musically, I hear that vocally, no era of Anthrax could pull this off. I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know. I don't think I agree either.
I think that John Bush could have pulled it off. I think Joey probably could have pulled it off, but he's not a barker like
it would have been higher.
Yeah.
It would have been a higher register, but yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen to their vocalist before him.
Well, that dude, I forgot his name.
I don't remember either, but I'd have to listen to that and see if that would have been a possibility, but no, I don't know about that. I could see Anthrax doing something like this.
Yeah. With Scott singing too.
Yeah. Scott would have been sharing to take the bit of the load there, sure.
Neil Turbin is the guy's name from the first album.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, back to it. turned into a white snake.
It totally did.
Rocky's going to bust out the violin blow.
All right.
Actually, it, just because I want to piss off Jackie, it went into Limp Bizkit territory right there a little bit.
Vocally a bit, yeah. Yeah.
Could have added some big reverb.
Yep.
I would assume, it's just an assumption, that Suicidal Tendencies would have been an influence on what ended up being Limp Bizkit.
I would say
I would imagine.
Yeah. Jackie said, sounds good. Yum. No, she didn't say that at all. She said, ew.
Now, I have absolutely no doubt that in the afterlife, Jackie is going to get all the gifts and blessings. But if she didn't, if by some off chance she was sent to the other place, the house band would be Limp Bizkit in Pittsburgh Pirates uniforms. Playing on an endless loop for eternity.
You can't leave.
No. That would be her penance for ending up there. But she's not going to, because she's a wonderful person. But if she was, that would be her vision, her version of absolute hell, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what happens here.
And just to add to it, Jackie would have to sign the check that Bobby Bonilla still gets from them.
Every year?
Every year.
It's coming up to the end, finally. I think 2030 is the last year of that deferred payment.
Amazing.
It is.
Isn't Otani getting something similar?
Oh, maybe.
Isn't he on the hook?
Might as well just name the league after him at this point.
Yeah,
he's the face of.
He is. Everything. He's the Wemby of Major League Baseball. Hmm. But yeah, I think he's got a similar deal. That's how they circumvent the salary cap, or that's how they get around paying the luxury tax. Yeah. I don't think there is a salary.
There is
cap
no salary
in
cap
in baseball.
That's why the Dodgers.
Is his translator still getting paid too?
He's getting paid in cigarettes in the big house.
Is he in the big house?
Oh, yeah. He was convicted.
I didn't know he
was. Yeah, they moved through that pretty quickly to put that aside. Yeah. Yeah. It was not a prolonged trial. He was convicted and sent away in rapid fire. It, like a Mike Muir vocal delivery. That's how fast that went.
Did you hear Pete Rose's comment on the...
Yeah, you said it on here.
Oh, that's right. It was on the show. Never mind.
Yeah.
We're always talking about Otani on here.
I guess.
We're like everybody else on the planet. Yeah.
Is he still on Babe Ruth, statistically, on Babe Ruth's pace?
He did something this past week that people were fucking raving about. It was like it's all a blur to me anymore. I see the headline and I'm like, who cares? So what?
Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
Just 'cause you don't understand what's going on, don't mean it don't make no sense. And just 'cause you don't like it, don't mean it ain't no good. And let me tell you something, before you go take it a walk in my world, you better take a look at the real world, 'cause this ain't no Mr. Rogers neighborhood.
Look at that.
Look at that.
That is
more serendipity. It just seems to happen constantly.
It does.
Because you had no idea that this song was... Even
no.
if you did know if this was the song, you wouldn't have known that was
no.
in there.
But it made me think of a Strange Brew line. Where, can you back up the... was it just... a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
A little more, sorry. A couple more lines there. Just because you don't know what's going on.
Oh.
Doesn't mean it don't make no sense. That reminds me of Chris's favorite line from Strange Brew.
Yeah, from the courtroom scene.
What do they say?
This footage is time-stamped, which is very hard to fake. For the benefit of the jury, can you please explain time-stamping? Well, just because I don't know what it is doesn't mean I'm lying.
There you go.
Wow.
That would have fit right in there.
Yeah. I could burst out laughing the first time I saw that, and every time since. It's a classic.
Can you say feel like shit? Yeah, maybe sometimes I do feel like shit. I ain't happy about it, but I'd rather feel like shit than be full of shit. And if I offended you, oh, I'm sorry, but maybe you need to be offended. But here's my apology and one more thing. Fuck you! You!
I love that.
I love the voice cracking, yeah, too.
That was awesome.
I'll leave that in there.
Good. I like that, too.
Now, that rant is reminiscent of Institutionalized. Yeah. It's his trademark outburst about the Pepsi.
Yeah. I like that. Just kind of letting you know who he is and how he feels. Doesn't have to be in a poem, you know?
Yeah, well, he's kind of, I don't know how often he goes into those kind of rants, but like I said, Institutionalized is what everybody knows. A lot of it from Beavis and Butthead. It was on an episode.
Yeah.
And this one is reminding me of that. So I don't know, maybe the suicidal tendencies experts in the chat can reveal if he goes into that even more frequently throughout the catalog or what, but.
Well, all right.
Bring me down! Bring me down! You can bring me down! Bring me down! You can bring me down! No, bring me down! You can bring me down! Bring me down! You can bring me down! Bring me down! You can bring me down! No, bring me down! You can bring me down! Bring me down! Bring me down! You can bring me down! Bring me down! Bring me down! You can bring me down! You can bring me down! Can bring me down! Can bring me down! Can bring me down! Suicidal.
Big finish.
A long song.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the first minute was that intro, but that's still a lot.
Yeah. That's some cardio for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And that's the opening song on that album. Wow. All right. So it's time for us to vote Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. Chris?
Sweet Surrender, sure.
It's Sweet Surrender!
Again, you know, for this style of music, just as we talked about before, as illustrated by all the supreme musicians who've gone in and out of the lineup, it's just there's a clear respect within the musician community, but I also think just music fans and fans of this genre, you know, this is a band that's just seems to me has almost unassailable credibility and respect again by both the players and the audience, and yeah, this is great. High energy, great drama being established at the beginning, which we talked about. It seems to be a dying art. Great guitar playing, drumming, they kind of went into that Limp Bizkit-esque section.
Yes,
in there, so mixed it up. Quality piece, I enjoyed it.
Nick, what do you think?
I'll give it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
This is the type of music that I don't listen to that often, but once in a while, something like this would be like, if I may, the precise elixir.
You may.
It really, it's, you know, there's not going to be a melody that you sing along to or anything like that. Although the arpeggio guitar thing going on at the beginning, there was some cool note choices there. So it's not like it's completely devoid of any sort of like musicality like that. But
right, yeah.
The meat of the song, it's thrash. It's punk and thrash, and you know, just sometimes you need that. Like, it's not the kind of thing that I would listen to all the time at this point in my life, but totally refreshing again to have something like this come up.
And I would say that a lot of our mentions of punk are more rooted into what they were at the outset of the band. I would say there's near zero punk elements in this. It's like full-on thrash to my ears.
I don't know. I guess that could be a big discussion as to whether, you know, what's the crossover between the two genres anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys would know better than me, but to my ears, I don't hear a ton of punk element in terms of like lo-fi. I don't know. Just it just seems polished, and by this time in their career, they'd gone full on thrash. So, but I'm not an expert in either genre, so open to correction on that.
Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yes.
Oh man, I've never heard this song before, but it's a band I always feel like, oh, I should know more about them. I had that, how can I laugh tomorrow if I can't even smile today? I had that downloaded at some point and used to listen to it once in a while, but never listened to any of their other stuff. Heard Institutionalized and then that album, and that was it. So
see, this band, I would say between among the three of us, this would be an Andy. This would be right more geared towards your taste.
You would think,
yeah. And I do like the how it feels like it could go off the rails at any moment, and I think that comes from the vocals in this band because it's not a band like it's a tight band. You could tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Again, the lit almost a who's who of great players have passed through the ranks of this band and the side band Infectious Grooves.
Sometimes you get that from the musicians, the people playing instruments, like, uh-oh, they're barely hanging on here. But I think you get it from the vocalist with this band, which is fun, you know. Like, you know, his voice cracked when he was yelling. But he sounds intense, and it's kind of wild, and he's not a traditionally good singer.
It's polished, I would say, to a certain extent, but it's still raw.
But I don't think he is. Do you think he is? I don't think he's polished at all.
More so at this stage of the career than originally.
Maybe.
But
maybe.
I don't think he ever got... It's not like he took the... It's not like he became Hetfield on the Black album and suddenly became a singer.
I don't think that he has that in him. I don't think he needs it in him either, but, you know, this is who he is. This is what he does.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's like you wouldn't want him to become Hetfield on the Black album.
No, I wouldn't. Well, who knows, but don't foresee it working.
Mm-hmm. Lee Travis said, where does one listen to this album? Driving, working out? I used to listen to it when I would run, but I don't do that anymore, so I don't haven't listened to it in a long time. But it was not this album, but the How Can I Laugh Tomorrow album.
Andy has a really big set of headphones. He puts his head up to one of the Oreo horses, and they put that headphone
together.
They listen together. They each get one headphone.
Yeah, and the horses run. Well, I have one foot on each one's back.
Andy will be listening to Suicidal Tendencies in his office at Nabisco in a few months.
That's right.
Be known as the metal marketer.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. All right. Yeah. Tony, you said Trip at the Brain is on this one. Trip at the Brain's on the other one. I know that song. I don't know this album.
Yeah, that was on... The one album you guys mentioned.
Yeah. It's the first song on it.
Yeah. And I remember.
All right. Well, hey, look what happened. Oh, my goodness. Who would have suspected?
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley needs to know if... Oh, You Can't Bring Me Down is a rock and roll boner classic, as voted by the three rock and roll boners in this room.
If Kiss should have been doing this?
Yeah, he wants to know. Is this?
Well, Kiss was a little blast beady in the 80s. A few songs here and there.
How close did they ever get to going thrash?
Maybe Exciter? Lick It Up era? That's the album that I seem to recall that they were... You know, almost like Judas Priest in spots.
I can't think of which songs, but there are a few where Eric Carr is. I mean, if it was a different band playing it, it could have. There were some Kiss songs that could have worked as thrash songs.
Fits Like a Glove, maybe.
Maybe. A bluesy thrash song.
Burn, bitch, burn. I don't know. A lot of those are completely forgettable.
I've forgotten them.
But I would say Lick It Up and Malaise eras where you're most likely to hear Kiss going down a suicidal road.
King of the Mountain. I don't know.
There you go. All right, my vote is in. Has to be unanimous. You guys still thinking?
No, I think my vote's in.
Mine is in.
Dave McCone says, I'm alive.
Yeah.
What's that? I'm
alive. Is that Asylum? It might be an Asylum.
I was thinking of that I'm an Animal song.
I'm alive in the streets.
That's
Sonic Boom.
Yeah. Wrong song. Okay. I was going to say, that wouldn't work.
Got it.
Okay. I'm going to go same order. Chris, Nick, Andy.
We can, yeah. All
right, let's do it.
All right, we're going?
Yep.
I'm going to say no boner, just on first listen. I'd have to absorb it more to really launch it into boner territory. It was good, obviously. But in general, thrash is not really in my wheelhouse, so I'd have to absorb this more. But to Lee's point, I'm not really sure when I would be into listening to this. Mm-hmm. Not at that stage of life anymore, but, you know.
It would be a cool song to, if you somehow came upon the vinyl, and just to throw it on and listen to it on vinyl. That would be probably a pretty cool place to listen to it. Just put it on the record player.
All right. I bet you Tony has it. Tony got it? I bet he does. Hope he does. All right, well, happy birthday, Tony. Thank you very much for your submission. Thank you, Chris Camarado, for piggybacking on that submission. Tony has it on vinyl. Yes, he does. There you go. Yep.
Yes, he does.
All right, if you disagree with us and you don't wish Tony a happy birthday,
well,
you'd be crazy.
Let's not get crazy.
Yeah, I don't have an expletive. Maybe this.
You, Nick.
No, that's not it.
No. Why me?
I don't know. If you disagree, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Yes. All right. You guys ready? It's time. Everybody's favorite part of the show.
My favorite part.
Coming
that's
up.
That's all that matters.
That's right. After a commercial break, we'll be right back with some more seasonal jokes.
The new Smokehouse Pizza from Little Caesars is our first pizza with three smoked meats. So we got barbecue champion Big Mo Quezon to test it out.
Oh, Big Mo.
8-hour smoked brisket.
Certified beefified.
10-hour smoked pulled pork.
Certified hogified.
Applewood smoked bacon.
Certified baconfied.
Drizzled with tangy barbecue sauce plus a Smokehouse seasoned crust.
Ooh, a whip.
Certified smokeified.
The new Smokehouse Pizza. Only $9 and only at Little Caesars.
Full commercial. The joke's come out at night. The joke's that was a good pizza.
The joke's come out at night. The joke's come out. The joke's come out at
night. All right, so what is this, pizza?
No.
Is it Big Mo?
In a way.
Big Mo would have been better in Bad Brains than Chuck Mosley was. Put it that way. But no, it's Memorial Day when this episode is coming out. So grilling. What do you do on Memorial Day?
There you go.
After you've done what you're supposed to do, which is, you know, pay your respects to our fallen military members here in America, you grill. So that's what it is. Grilling. Jokes about grilling.
All right.
How many you got, Nick?
I've got two.
I've got two as well.
All right, let me get some clips ready. I think I'm good here.
You want to go first? Alternate?
I could.
Or I could go first.
If you want to go first.
All right. I will go first. You know those aprons that cooks wear that have the funny sayings on front, you know? Okay, that's what this joke is about. What pun was printed on the gorilla's novelty grilling apron?
Gorillas.
A gorilla who likes to grill. He's got his novelty apron. What pun was printed on the gorilla's novelty grilling apron?
I don't know.
King Tong.
That's good.
Who the fuck is this cherry?
That's a good one.
Like King Tong.
I wrestled with saying King Tongs, but because you never hear Tong singular, but it had to be singular for the motif.
Didn't bother me. Nick, you going?
Sure. What titular song from a classic war movie goes well with a slice of American cheese? What titular song from a classic war movie goes well with a slice of American cheese?
Titular. You got me. I don't know.
I found my thrill on Hamburger.
Okay. All right.
On Hamburger.
All right. Shut it off. Oh boy. Let him have it with one of the sound clips. Oh. Jeez. Give him something, Andy. All right. He deserves it.
Perfect. Fuck. Okay, stay here and get fucked by 12 Neanderthals. Bitch.
Well, it's good. It's about to go from bad to worse.
Oh, no.
Warning you ahead of time. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this one's. This one's super wordy. I tried to whittle it down. This is as to the point as I could get it. What did the pissed off guests at the thong sandal wearing guy's Memorial Day barbecue say to him after he forgot to clean his grill and had no clue what was making his burgers taste terrible?
Jeez.
So this is what the guests...
Yes.
He angrily said.
Let me read that again. There's a lot to unpack. What did the pissed off guests at the thong sandal wearing guy's Memorial Day barbecue say to him after he forgot to clean his grill and had no clue what was making his burgers taste terrible?
I don't know.
It's the soot, asshole.
You are too fucking dumb, you asshole.
There you go. Oh, goodness.
the adoring inside joke, which is coming around the bend because, you know, you see a lot of thong sandals coming out this time of year.
That's right.
Not anybody in this crew, but a lot of people still wear them, and they should.
Nick,
I've got one. What titular song from a classic war movie goes well with applesauce?
Oh no!
I found my thrill. On pork chop hill.
Oh God.
On pork chop hill.
I like that it keeps going.
That's it, huh?
That's all I have.
I hope so.
Well,
what?
How would you wash it down, guys?
Barbecue lemonade. Barbecue lemonade. Barbecue lemonade.
There you go.
Is that Andy at vocals?
That was.
Wow.
Andy got those clips ready for me.
Jeez.
The last one was a surprise.
Yep.
Wow. Took it to a new level. High or low, that's up to you. But.
But we got a shovel and started digging.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for being here with us.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Happy birthday, Tony.
Hope you enjoyed the episode. I got a feeling if we picked a rough cut, at least one of us would have hated it. We didn't want that to happen on your birthday. So even though we didn't get a boner... And you're not going to get one because you're, what, 58? So that's not happening for you anymore.
Maybe he's on that Blue Chew Gold. That's every other ad I see on my phone, on any website or social media. They really want me to take that Blue Chew Gold. The internet's
Something
dying.
Tells me you don't need it. The grit in your voice and those sound clips.
Do some Blue Chew Gold Oreos. That would work.
The Blue Chew horses.
Yeah.
We'll be making appearances across the country this year.
Hung like the Oreo horses, the Blue Chew Oreos.
Blue Chew horses keep getting stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
Can't put up the kickstand.
They found the thrill.
All right. Please check us out on Patreon if you haven't already.
Oh, and don't forget, wherever you listen, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, leave a review, do all that stuff. Helps us out.
Yeah. So. Thank you so much for being here. Patreon.com/Pot of Thunder. Curiosities.com, promo code pothead, and we will be back another time. Bye bye.
Barbecue lemonade. Barbecue lemonade. Barbecue lemonade.